Welke, occupational therapist, creator of the Next Level Occupational Therapy Platform. We are a community of occupational therapy professionals that are on a mission to help as many OTs and OTAs start their own business as possible, as well as to help any occupational therapy professional in their current practice to level up. There is limited information and support for OT professionals to start their own business. And this is where the Next Level Occupational Therapy Platform is going to help fill that void. Please check out our Facebook group, the Next Level Occupational Therapy, and where we will be posting and sharing upcoming events. I've had a couple interviews with occupational therapists, and throughout the podcast and YouTube series, I will continue to be interviewing other OTs and OTAs that have started their process or started their own business, so you can learn from them. And today, I'm very excited to introduce Alicia Colmar. Did I pronounce that right, Alicia?
You did, yep.
Okay, great. She's been an occupational therapist since 2000. And that's when I graduated too in 2000. So that's cool. Throughout her career, she has worked in a variety of areas, including schools, skilled nursing, home health, and acute care. She unexpectedly fell in love with pediatric work and has primarily been doing that since 2003. She started contracting to schools in 2010 and opened up her cash-based pediatric private practice in 2015. To fulfill her goal to provide therapy without the constraints and restrictions imposed by insurance companies and schools. The cash-based model allows her to have more time to communicate with parents and other caregivers so they can work collaboratively to support children. She has 3 part-time employees that include an OT assistant, office manager, and OT aide. And I will have to say, Alicia, you were such a huge help to me when I first started my business by answering questions, providing your thoughts and ideas and helping me steer me on the right track. So I'm so excited to be interviewing you today. So thank you very much.
Yep, I'm happy to be here.
So let's start with just telling us all about your current business, because I mean, really, you're a huge trendsetter because you see all these physical therapists out there having their cash-based practice. And that's what you have, a cash-based pediatric practice. I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah. So most of what I've been doing is working in schools. So I do a lot of contracts to big districts and charter schools. And when I started my practice, I got really busy with the schools. And so I didn't have a lot of clients right away. I didn't have the time to try to get clients. And really, my motivation has been to do goals, groups with kids, especially self-regulation groups. So I've worked a lot on building that up and getting some private clients. And I do take Medicaid now, just really to be more accessible to people. And there is such a need in this area. But I do a lot with self-regulation and social skills and some motor skills too, but really more of a mental health model here.
That's awesome. Do you have a clinic or do you go to people's homes?
I have an office. I don't call it a clinic because it doesn't look like a traditional pediatric therapy clinic. I'm not a sensory integration therapist. So I have an office, which I'm in right now. And then I have another room that I use for treatment. And it's like a small bedroom size. It's not very big. But my philosophy is that you should be able to do these strategies anywhere, because parents don't have big sensory gyms at their house. And so that's kind of my philosophy on giving people real practical strategies.
Now, I think I heard, did you just start, or are you looking at getting a bigger space?
Yes. Well, it's not really bigger, but it'll be all mine. Okay. I'm going to be moving in about a month and a half. And right now I share with an insurance agent who has like the main front entrance, and I've got like the back entrance, which I've done a pretty good job of like cutening it up and making it welcoming. But it really is like the back, and you have to like drive by dumpsters and stuff to get to it. It's not ideal. You can't see it being from the street at all. So then the new place will be in more of an office complex where I have other healthcare providers around, and it's really central to my town. So it's going to be a great place, and I'll have my own signage. So I'm real excited about that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So yeah. You do quite a few groups, and do you do one-on-one treatments as well?
I do. Mm-hmm.
And did you have any problems with the cash-based model as far as wanting to take insurance instead?
I knew that when I started that I was going to feel really overwhelmed trying to figure out the insurance piece because I've never had a private practice experience. I've never worked in a clinic. I've really only done schools. And so I knew that I was just going to be overwhelmed trying to figure out the business piece alone without having that whole thing to add to it. Because I know adult billing a lot better than I know kid billing just from working in skilled nursing and that kind of thing. So.
Okay. Awesome. Before we jump back, can you describe, like you said, you do like social skills groups, and do you also do handwriting groups?
Yes. Yeah. I really incorporate the social skills more with my self-regulation piece. I found it a lot more successful. So kind of combined, and it's evolved over the years. Yeah, I've got a couple of self-regulation groups that I do, one for younger kids, one for older kids. Same with the handwriting. I do one for younger kids, one for older kids, or their levels, ages is a major factor. But yeah, those have been really pretty successful. I've got some clients coming from that want individual therapy after they do the groups. And I love that because then I don't have to write an evaluation report for them, but I'm still like evaluating, and it just saves a lot of paperwork and more money for the clients too.
Right. So how many people are in your groups? I like this concept of group therapy. I don't think a lot of people utilize it as much as they could.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's been really effective. I usually have around 4 kids at the most. For my younger kids, sometimes I max it out at 3 just because it can be like herding cats. But so I've got an OT aide now that I just hired. And so she's going to be able to help me. So I'm hoping I can expand a little bit and feel more comfortable taking on a few more kids. Still maxing it probably 4 to 5, depending on the group.
Okay. And how many do you run your groups?
What's that?
How many weeks do you run your groups?
Oh, the handwriting groups are 6 weeks and the self-regulation groups are 8 weeks.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. And you said you had an OT assistant and an OT aide?
Yes. Yes. My OT assistant has been with me from the beginning, from the moment I opened my doors, basically, because right after I started, right after I signed my lease, I got a contract for a school, and I was already booked to the max for myself to work at all my schools. And so I wasn't going to turn it away. And she's a friend and she's a great therapist. And so I said, "Are you interested?" And she was, and she's been hanging in there with me, not having consistency of hours and not really knowing what to expect, especially over summers. And she's just been, she's basically been super flexible and just awesome. So
that's awesome.
The aide that I hired is going to be helping with all these background things that I'm doing all the time, like making social stories for kids and visual supports and things like that I spend a lot of time doing. And so I'm hoping to take some of that off my plate because it's not the best use of my time.
Right, right. Well, that's neat. I like that you're that you have employees, one, that's awesome, and that you utilize the OT assistant and an OT aide in your practice. That's pretty sweet. So, well, awesome. So let's jump back, way back. What actually got you thinking or inspired to start your own practice?
Well, I was working in a charter school, and I was doing that part-time. And it was a great experience because I got to do all these things that you can't typically do in schools. So I did a lot really as a whole school therapist. So I knew most of the kids in the school, 300 something kids there. And they knew me, which is really unusual for an OT in the schools. We usually have our own little pocket of special classes that we're going in and just occasional kids here and there. And so I was able to do all these self-regulation groups. And there just wasn't an opportunity in the community for people for that. And so when I left that school, I thought, I just want to do that. That sounds like a really cool thing because I know people want it. People found value in it. The parents found that more effective than the private therapy that they were getting for some of them. And it was just a great way to make sure everyone's on board.
And so what kind of steps did you take to go from that thought and how awesome it would be to actually putting it into practice or into place?
That's a good question. I was really naive. I ended up, I started looking at places that I could just rent as a, like a room when I wanted to have the group and, you know, churches and things like that, that might have a space. And I started building my plan. I had a it was my first summer free when I wasn't doing a year round school. And so I had all this time on my hands. And so I started putting a plan together of what each group would be. I started working on the handouts for parents. So I kind of had my group in place and set and what I wanted to do. And before I ever signed any lease or did anything or made any marketing steps, anything like that. And so I spent a long time doing that. And then when I was going to try to find a space, I just really couldn't find anything. And so I looked at some numbers and I said, okay, if I get this many clients, then maybe I can have my own space. And just naively thought that I'm going to sign a lease, people are going to start coming, and my groups are going to be full. And I didn't need a lot of clients to be able to pay the rent, but it was really naive.
Hey, that's awesome. That's kind of like what the field of dreams, you're going to build it and they're going to come, right?
Yep. Didn't quite work that way, but but it worked out well to have that extra school contract that I got right after I signed my lease, because that really is what paid my rent.
Right. Yep. So once you signed your lease, how long until you were up and seeing more groups or clients?
I got a group going pretty fast with my handwriting group. I advertised on Facebook and I gave them a great deal. I also spammed a bunch of teachers in the area, which I wouldn't do again. And I felt really bad for doing that, but it did get me clients.
The learning process.
I know. I have mixed feelings about that, but really I shouldn't be spamming people, but it did work. And so I got my first group up and running and it was full. I had a really good session as far as this is my handwriting group. And I didn't have as specific a plan as I did with my self-regulation one, but I kind of made it up as I went along, and it really went very well. And I feel like 6 weeks, I got a lot of progress in with those kids, and families really appreciated it. And so that was good, but I really wasn't making much with that. It right away, because I didn't charge quite enough for it, but it got right. Experience. So
how long do you think it took you before you were actually making what you wanted to make with everything?
I'd say like this is my fourth year in business. Yeah. This last year has been probably my most successful. So I'd say it's taken a while to get it going. The biggest issue for me was building up my confidence. Just feeling comfortable with what I was doing in a private practice setting, because I've primarily worked in natural environments. And so here I've got to sort of contrive these situations and make it meaningful for the kids and the families, even though I may not be seeing some of the issues. And so building my confidence and increasing my networking has been the most useful thing for me. So it's taken a little while to truly make that work as much as I wanted it to financially, but I've also been super busy with schools, and that's been growing and growing too. So yeah, I've been busy.
Well, and that's just it. So you've been doing your contracting with the schools and your private practice on the side and building them both up. So that takes a lot of time and effort and to do it. So awesome.
Yeah.
So thinking about what you know now, if you could provide 5 tips for people that are just starting to think about starting their own business, what would those tips be, or how would you guide someone else that is kind of looking to do what you're doing?
One, I'd say to definitely have goals. You know, I think that this has come up, of course, in the Facebook group too, that it's, you know, when I started, it was just this vague, oh, I want more clients, I want my groups full, you know, really vague kind of things. And, you know, certainly as a therapist, we know that when we make a treatment plan for our clients, that guides what we do with them. Well, we need to do the same thing for ourselves. So I think that's a very important one. I'd say for me, one of the biggest things that I really try to be in touch with is my true wants. And I think a lot of times it's really easy to go, I've had experiences where I say, oh my gosh, I'm a business person. I should have more clients. I should be busier. I should. And, you know, like logically I know that that's the thing I should be doing, but I've had so many times where I've just been so busy with my my schools that having more clients just exhausts me. I don't really, like, in my gut, when I truly stop and listen to myself, I really don't want them signing up for my group because I just have too much going on and I need a break. And so when I'm putting that out there in the universe, I think being really in tune with what you are, whether it's, you know, whatever message is coming in is the right thing for you, that you're really in tune with that. And, you know, for some people that might be God, some people it might be the universe, and some people, you know, however you want to explain that. Just, I think that's really important, and not to get into your head so much. Sometimes follow that heart too, and, you know, knowing what you want. I think a big one is knowing what to charge. And we just don't talk enough about money. You know, our culture does not at all. And certainly not having any clue what to charge when you start, which I'm guessing most people that are listening to this probably have no clue either. And we are all just pulling numbers from wherever. I pulled my numbers from the physical therapist I was going to. I had a couple things. One was the PT that I was going to at the time, and I was paying cash for because my benefits had run out. And he was charging, I think, $75. And then I thought about what people's co-pays were, and they were, you know, between $40 and $70. And so those were numbers I started with because I thought it's worth not having to deal with insurance if people come at with $70. And so my rate was $70 for an hour. And as I've built my confidence, I felt a little better about charging more. And the first thing I did was I reduced my rate, or increased my rate, by changing from a 60-minute session to a 45-minute session. And then I bumped up my rate again. So now I charge $105 for a session for 45 minutes. So that's really about like $140 per hour. And I think starting there would have been a good idea, but I did not have the confidence or even the knowledge. I don't have a clue what insurance even pays. So I don't even know how I relate to that. And there's a private practice here in not too far away from me, far enough to not be a true competitor, but they charge $250 for their clients.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's just it. I think we're such a giving and helping profession that sometimes we feel bad charging people, but our services are valuable. Yeah. And we need to charge what they're worth. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think that, that's exactly right. As women too, you know, most of us in OT are women, and we tend to give ourselves away, and we really don't know. I think one of the reasons we get paid less is because we don't value our time as much. And so, you know, definitely as helpers as well. Yeah. So that's definitely a big one. I think the more we can talk numbers, the, you know, make it real and make it helpful. Like, let's all of us show our value, and it really benefits the whole profession.
That's awesome.
Another tip I'd give is to have systems in place. I'm still working on that myself, but there's some things that, that are flowing, and some things that aren't so flowing so much. But the more you can have systems in place, and if you haven't read the E-Myth, that's often the first thing that a lot of places a lot of people recommend in business, and that's kind of what they talk about. And I'd say another one is just to keep true to the customer service and the profession, and be true to what we do. I think that there's a lot of flexibility in what we do, and the more that we can say who we are and say occupational therapy and show how great we are, the better. You know, when I thought about my name for my business, I decided I knew I was going to only do OT. I didn't want speech or PT or anything else. And I said, I want that in my title. I want that in my name. And so I put occupational therapy, which is really long and hard to get on things sometimes on like promotional materials and things, but, you know, I think that we do great work, so we should make our names out there more.
That's awesome. Yeah. All fabulous tips and promoting our profession. I sometimes feel, well, we still are hiding behind other professions and think we need to go with other professions. And I love that you're committed to standing alone, showcasing OT, and really promoting that. That's awesome. So before we end, you said you started taking Medicaid. Now, was that kind of a big process to get into?
Yeah, a little bit. It wasn't that bad because the state provides pretty clear guidelines. I'm in North Carolina. But the billing piece and the what's actually covered piece and all those things, I'm really glad that that's all I did. And here, in North Carolina, they actually don't pay that bad. It's like $96 for an hour. So I figured it was worth it. I really wanted to be accessible to people, which is partly between that and the groups. I feel like I can hit a variety of socioeconomic areas.
Right.
Lower fee for groups and Medicaid and individual therapy. But yeah, it's a little bit of a process, but it hasn't been that bad because they sort of walk you through it.
Right. Okay. And I like that you just mentioned you provide, you know, the individual therapy and groups, and then you do have Medicaid now, so you reach a wide variety of people. With groups, do you charge per group session or for the whole 8 weeks?
For the whole 8 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole session.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you have any recommendations on pricing for that? Because I know you mentioned pricing is important. How do you know how to charge for a group? How much?
That's probably still a little bit of a work in progress for me too, because I know some places, like the place that charges $250 per session is charging a lot of money for basically the same thing I'm doing. But people don't want to pay the same rate for a group that they're paying for individual therapy, just the mentality. And so even though that they maybe that's really what they need as a group because it's social skill issues or whatever. So I priced it basically about half. I'd say it's probably a little less than half of what I charge. I want to make sure I'm making a little bit more money than what I get as an individual in an individual session, because there's a lot of prep time and things like that associated with it. It's also real important for me to communicate with families and parents. So I spend a lot of time emails and phone calls, and I will sit down with parents and not charge them for that time. That's just sort of embedded in what I do as an for the individual therapy. But yeah, pricing is a challenge. Pricing is a challenge. Yeah.
Well, and I think a lot of people, well, and maybe not, but once you set a price, knowing that you can adjust it and increase it in the future if you need to. So right. Like you mentioned.
Right. And I've done that. And so, you know, I charge about $40 per session with my self-regulation groups and around 30 for my handwriting groups.
That's awesome. Well, do you have any other tips or anything else you would like to add for all these new people that are wanting to get into their own practice?
Nothing I can think of. I think we hit a lot of areas, and it's just a really great thing to be able to work for yourself. And I really wish everyone the best. And, you know, I'm here if you have any questions.
Well, thank you so very much. I appreciate your time. I know you have tons going on right now, and it was a pleasure visiting with you.
Thanks, Kara.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Next Level Occupational Therapy podcast. Be sure you check out the Next Level Occupational Therapy Facebook page to keep up to date on all the new happenings.